positions that you can imagine. He is tremendously skilled. He is entrusted with very, very expensive systems to make sure that they do not fail. And he treats your system at home with that same TLC. And so if you've got a problem with your heater or air conditioning, I should say your air conditioner or your heater, you know, here a couple of weeks ago, I have this weather app on my phone. It tells me what the weather is like where all of my kids are living, where my wife's family is living, where my father and my family live. And there for a while, Florida was colder than it was in those locations, and they're further north. But then the script flipped and they got brutally cold, very uncomfortably cold. And so you need to make sure that if that happens down here, if the temperatures start dropping down into the 40s or the 50s and you don't like them that cold, You can turn that thermostat up. So this time of year, it might not be an AC problem. It might be a heating situation that you are needing. And if your heater isn't up to speed, Bill can come out and help you out with that as well. Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. And as always, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So, got lots of papers going on here, shuffling around, because I've got so much that I want to say, been saying, want to make sure that I don't mess anything up. So, today we're going to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. I want to read verse 5 through verse number 14. And it says here, "And as I was considering, suddenly a male goat from the west across the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Then he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with furious power. I saw him confronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, and broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled him, and there was no one that could deliver the ram from his hand. Therefore the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven, and out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth to the ground. He did all this and prospered. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking, 'How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?' And he said to me, 'For 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed.'" So if you remember earlier in the book of Daniel, Daniel had interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's vision about the kingdoms that were coming after Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. The Medes and the Persians were the kingdom that conquered Babylon. Darius and Cyrus were some of the more pronounced leaders during that time, and you'd find about them, and Xerxes and Artaxerxes, and so they were a powerful kingdom, and that is referenced here as the ram with two horns. That would be the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. It talks about a kingdom that came and conquers them with a great deal of speed, and that would be when Alexander the Great came in and saw tremendous military victories. It's because of passages like this that there are many historians that just automatically discount the book of Daniel as being prophetic and say there is no way that anyone could know that the Medes and the Persians were going to overtake Babylon and that the Greeks were going to take care of that, and that when Alexander the Great would die, that four kingdoms would take the place of that one kingdom. But that is exactly what happened, and it happened that way because God had foretold that it was going to happen that way. So just because humanity does not want to acknowledge that God is the one that causes kingdoms to rise and kingdoms to fall does not mean that God does not have a plan and that he is going to bring that plan to pass. So his goal was so that when the fullness of time had come, Jesus would be born of a virgin, raised in the promised land, die on a cross, be raised again to the third day so that the sins of humanity could be eliminated. And so all of this time, God is setting the stage for the prophecies that he had been given, or that he had given for them to be fulfilled. So let's look at what this particular leader looks like. It says that this talks about when Alexander the Great died. He died very early. He died in his 30s. And it says in verse number 9 that out of one of them came a little horn which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. Okay, so Alexander, when he died, it was broken up into four kingdoms. There was the Ptolemaic kingdom, the Seleucid kingdom, there was Attalia, there was Macedon, Pergamon. So there were four different regions. There was Egypt, the Mesopotamian and Central Asian region, Anatolia and Pergamum, and Macedon, all of those different kingdoms. And Egypt became the most powerful of those four. It was known as the Ptolemaic kingdom. And it said that this one grew toward the glorious land, and it grew up to the host of heaven. So a lot of times you see people that are rising to power, they're rising in influence, they're rising in authority, and many, many, many times pride comes in and begins to take root in those people's lives. That was what was going on. So this would be the kingdom that would extend on up into Cleopatra until it was conquered by Rome. But look at what it says, that it says it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground. Now, that's the first of three mentions in the passages from verse 10 through verse number 12, where it says this particular person, when they were leading, when they were in a position of leadership, that they started casting things down. The first of them was they cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground. Their prestige, their authority, their power was centralized to such an extent that other authorities were trampled upon. Okay, so they cast these people down so that they could walk all over them, so that they could trample all over them. I want you to see that there is a difference in attitude between people who are leading with a godly leadership style versus an ungodly leadership style. For a person that's in power, that wants to remain in power, they will cast people down. They will walk all over them. They will use their bullying tactics to make sure that no one rises to take their place. If you read the Christmas story, Herod was one of the most insecure leaders of all time. He actually even had some of his kids assassinated because he thought that they were a threat to his power. I remember years and years ago, this goes back 20 plus years, about 25, 26 years, and a person told me, and they had lived through World War II, and they said, Bob, it's no problem for a dictator to remain in power. All they've got to do is be willing to kill their own people, their own subjects. And so whenever you see a person that is in power and they are abusive towards the people that they are supposed to be serving, okay, leadership is about serving. I was having a conversation with my son, I believe it was, and I was describing, I've got a reserved parking spot at Merit Assembly of God. There's no sign there. It's just my reserved parking spot. And you say, oh, I bet it's the closest one to the door. No, it's actually the one that is farthest away from the door. Because I'm the pastor, I'm the person in authority, but my authority is to serve, my authority is to build people up, my authority is to equip, and so I'm not there to abuse the people of Merit Assembly of God, I'm there to serve the people of Merit Assembly of God. And so the word minister means servant, the word pastor means shepherd. Neither one of those titles was a particularly prestigious occupation to have. You know, nobody was wanting to be the servant that put people's sandals on their feet. Nobody was really looking to take care of the sheep out in the pasture, which was a full-time job. That was considered low on the scale. Nobody wanted to do those jobs, and yet that's what God has called his servants. So we're not here to trample upon people. We're here to build people up, to serve them. It says in verse number 11, he even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. So you begin to see that this person has an inflated image of themselves to the point that they equate themselves with what is referred to as the prince of the host. It's capital P. In other words, they elevate themselves to the position of God. They want to be the one that decides who lives and who dies. They want to be the one that decides what is right and what is wrong. They want to be make all of the decisions. If there's going to be a person that is worshipped and adored, they say it ought to be me, and that's the way that they rule. That is an ungodly mindset. And it says that as a result of this inflated arrogance that they have amongst themselves and that they have self-promoted or self-exalted themselves, then they command that the daily sacrifices were taken away and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Okay, so they don't want to have any threat. You can see that if you look at the world stage right now, you can see places where people are, who are in power. Now, I want you to understand, they do not, a person that leads in an ungodly manner, like we're talking about in Daniel chapter 8, does not lead from a position of self-confidence. They lead from a position of insecurity. And because of that, they feel threatened if there is anybody even perceived as close to them or perceived as challenging them. No one else is going to receive any adulation, any adoration, or any praise as long as this person is making the decisions, because they will tear it down. They will tear churches down. They will cause pastors and leaders of churches to be arrested. There are churches around the globe that are demolished because people said, we can't have people having the option to worship God. I want you to know, people who do things like that, stand in a very dangerous and precarious place when it comes to judgment. So we've got people who are, so we've got the stars of the ground, the host of heaven being cast down and trampled upon. We have the idea, the concept of God being cast down, and the houses of worship being cast down as well. But look at verse number 12. It says, because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth to the ground. So it's not that he just cast anybody else in authority down. It's not that he just cast the idea of God on the ground, but an ungodly leader, to an ungodly leader, truth is disposable. I'm going to say that again. To an ungodly leader, truth is disposable. And it's not something to be embraced. It is something to be rejected. Because if you ever find yourself where you have exalted yourself instead of God being the one exalted you, then you can't run the risk of being exposed. And so you have a lot of people who operate in an ungodly leadership perspective, whether you're talking about an international scale, a national scale, a judicial scale, or a business scale. It doesn't matter. If people were to find out the truth and realize that they're not as bad or as weak as you've made them out to seem, or that know that you've built your life upon a fraudulent foundation, then you've got to suppress the truth. And so there are many, many, many examples throughout history of people whose truth, whose dealings with truth were a threat to their leadership, and so they just eliminated truth. Their philosophy was tell the truth only if necessary. You know, so you and I, we can't afford to distance ourselves from truth. We need to lead from a position of truth. I remember watching a documentary one time on Joseph Stalin, I believe it was, and he was wanting to propagandize of what a wonderful humanitarian he was. He went and he visited this village, and he found a husband and a wife and their kids, and went and visited them and made it seem like he was just the nicest guy in the world. And then the next day, they came and arrested the husband. And the wife and the family protested and said, why are y'all doing this? We literally just had, you know, a day of hosting Stalin, you know, this ruthless dictator and murderer. And then they disappeared. And so for them, the propaganda was the actual message that they wanted to get out. And so they would throw the truth on the ground. And here's a very interesting statement. It says, he did all this and prospered. You see people doing everything wrong, and yet they're still prospering. There may be people who have authority to this day that they shouldn't have, and they're trampling on people. They're abusive of the power that they have at their disposal, and they look as if they are prospering. And I want to challenge you not to buy in to the superficiality of the fact that they're succeeding and what they put their hand to do. Look at verse number 13. It says this, then I heard a holy one, an angel, speaking, and another holy one, another angel, said to that certain one who was speaking, how long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot. And he said to me, for 2,300 days, then the sanctuary will be cleansed. You know, even the angels were asking, how long is this going to go on? You know, it doesn't take a great deal of expertise to look at something and say, that person is succeeding and they shouldn't be succeeding. This plan, this scheme, this, you know, charade is succeeding and it shouldn't be succeeding. God, what is going on? How long is it going to be like this? How long are they going to continue to prosper? I will tell you this, Daniel has another verse that talks about a time when a person was ruling in hostility towards the people of God. And it says this, and the people that know their God shall do great exploits. And the people that know their God shall do great exploits. You see, temporary success does not equal truth. Temporary success does not equal truth. It does not indicate God's blessing. It does not indicate God's favor. You can be succeeding. You can have all of the trappings of success and be a complete and total fraud. And the danger of that is when you believe the lie that you are propagating, you are set up for a great, great fall. You see, God created people in His image. He created you. Listen, this time of the year can be a very difficult season for people because a lot of times we're remembering loss. A lot of times companies start scaling back and letting workers go and things like that. And all of that happens at the exact wrong time of the year. And you say, how can they be doing that? How can they be succeeding when God's people are experiencing such hardship? And you can read Psalm 73. It's a psalm that I visit with some frequency because I'm not immune to those questions either. But I will tell you this. The psalmist in Psalm 73 said, when I saw what their end looked like, then I understood. Then I understood. If you're battling with loneliness or discouragement, maybe you've been victimized. Maybe someone has risen to power and they're abusive to the people that they're supposed to be serving. They don't really care about truth, and they certainly don't care about God, and it looks like that evil is winning. I want to remind you, Christmas is God's proof that evil shall not win in the end. Herod tried to kill Jesus. He failed. They crucified Jesus to try and prevent him from accomplishing his mission. And they only enabled him to accomplish his mission. Keep your eyes on Jesus because it's worth it. It is worth it. I love you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. And we'll see you Monday back here on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Daddy.